Welcome to the Uncommon Career Podcast, where you get clear direction, a persuasive brand, and a competitive strategy that moves you forward. My name is Patricia Ortega, and I'm your host and career coach. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Today, we're talking to Tammy Alvarez, and her name might sound familiar, and that's because we talked to her not too long ago in episode 52, which is called How to Break All the Rules. Now, Tammy Alvarez is a C-suite executive from Wall Street turned CEO and founder of her very own company, which is Career Winner Circle. Now, she has an amazing list of coaches that help people to break all the rules, and that's what we talked about in last episode. But in this episode, she's actually helping to kind of show us the lay of the land of how it actually happens. Now, she has a book that just came out. It's called The Escaping the Career Trap. I'm going to leave the link in the description. But in addition to that, there's so many things going on. In addition to that, there is an event called the Disrupt Summit that's taking place the very next week after you hear this. So on April 8th, 2024. So go ahead and check that link in the description and check out today's episode, because Tammy is going to talk to you about how to break all the rules step by step. It's a really great episode, and you don't want to miss it. So let's get into it. Tammy, welcome back. I'm so excited to have you on the show again.
Patricia, me too. Thanks for the invite and the opportunity to reach out to your audience again. So thanks again.
Yeah. And there's, as you know, a very special reason why you're here, and one that I'm very excited about. You have a new book, and it came out literally a day before we are recording. So tell us about your new book.
Yes. So I'm so excited. The book is called Escaping the Career Trap, Transform Your Apathy into Ambition, and Never Hate Mondays Again. This book has been 6 years in the making in terms of in my head and my coaching practice and with my career experience. I started writing it about 9 months ago. So we had a pretty fast turnaround time in terms of getting it out there to the market. And it is designed and built and written for anyone who feels like they're stuck in the soul crushing grind. For anyone who gets that pit in their stomach on Sunday afternoon because of all of the silliness that they're getting ready to, you know, face again for another week. And so if you don't wake up energized on Monday mornings, excited about what you do, you need to read the book.
Yes. I mean, even if you like what you do, you're going to find yourself in that spot at some point, and you want to have already the tools in your toolbox, right?
Agreed. It is really for all the career professionals, right? And how to always have that thriving career. And, you know, in the book, we talk about these five lies, you know, but I think one of the biggest lies that we don't even know is untrue is the fact that loving Mondays is not a pipe dream. Loving your job isn't some mythical concept that no one actually does. Because most people are like, work is work. And I'm not supposed to love it. So I just have to suck it up and just get her done. And it's actually not true. And so, you know, that's kind of the premise that all of our coaching and the book and everything else really starts with, is stepping into something that energizes you, that you love, that you're passionate about, where you're making a big impact. And, you know, and the work that you do, you know, that you do matters. And so that's why I'm just so excited, because our coaching practice has dealt with this for years with hundreds of clients. And now with this book, we're able to reach so many more people in a much more accessible way to really start to, you know, empower people to make that transformation for themselves.
Oh, I absolutely love that. And part of the reason why I was so excited to start on this recording is because I've spoken to so many people, some who we end up coaching together and some who are like, you know, I'm not in a place where I can afford this, right? And so no matter where you are on the spectrum, whether you're the CEO or the person who's at their first position, this gives you, it's like a career manual that you wish you got at onboarding at nearly every single place that you went. And the reason why you're not giving this manual, I think, now I'm going to own this, right? I think the reason you're not giving it is because there's this worry that if you know how to navigate the career space, then you may not be at XYZ position, kind of like a significant other who's like, I'm going to put you down so you don't know how, you know, so you know how great you have it with me kind of thing. But the reality is that we have options everywhere. And if we just know how to navigate these options, if we get out of our own head and stop putting barriers on ourselves, we'll be able to pretty much have any opportunity that we want in due time. So, Tammy, I would love to hear from you. in all your vast experience, what you think are some of the top mindsets that are holding us back in our career in jobs that we just don't like?
Yeah. And it was interesting because earlier in my practice, we were going to have our sixth birthday on Valentine's Day. So it's right around the corner. And when I was trying to understand how my clients felt and how my potential clients felt, and just really trying to understand like what's going on in that head. I know what was going on in mine, because I've had various degrees of loving what I do and hating what I do. And as you know, one of the words just surprised me because it kept coming up. And to your point, whether it was the CEO of a major organization, high level, mid level, or individual contributor, like it was just really interesting. The one word that kept showing up was stuck. I feel stuck. And I'm like, huh, that's not what I expected to hear at all. There were so many other things that were, that I thought would come through. And the biggest reason that we feel stuck is because we feel like we don't have control. And we feel like there's so many other forces at work, and we've got to, stay in our lane, be patient, do the thing, and that we're, our skills are finite and they can only be used in a certain area. And so all of these misperceptions lead to us not taking the action that we need to get unstuck. And I think, during the launch party yesterday, we talked about two, I think, big mindset shifts that people need to make, right? One is the idea of, success and failure, and really how we have an unhealthy relationship with success and failure. And so we look at failure and success as opposites. But the reality is, you can't succeed unless you fail. So if you avoid failure, you are avoiding success. And so if you stop putting yourself into these cage matches of, do or die situations, right, wrong, yes, no, black, white, and you move into more of an experimental mindset, realizing that absolutely nothing in your life is a complete success and nothing in your life is a complete failure. There's always a mix of both, and you control that narrative. So if you have this experimental mindset saying, okay, I'm going to get some things right and I'm going to screw some things up. And then once you have a chance to recap, you're like, I'm going to keep the things that worked. I'm going to not do the things that punch me in the face again because that wasn't super fun. And I'm going to try something different. And when you do that, all of a sudden, you have this ability to appear fearless. You have this ability to take these risks that you thought were impossible 5 minutes ago. And when you start taking those risks, and when you start to really lean into impact and value instead of obligations, and I've been here long enough, I deserve this, then the whole game changes, right? So I think that's one of the biggest mindset shifts is that you really do need to get comfortable with failing forward, take that experimental mindset shift, and start to play a little bit and stop taking things so seriously. The second big mindset shift that comes in with feeling stuck is feeling like you just don't have options. It's like, I've been doing this for a while. How am I going to compete against somebody who's done something differently for 10 years? And how am I going to win that? How am I going to compete over that? And when we think about making a change because what we do no longer serves us and it no longer energizes us, we immediately move into a scarcity mindset. And we talked about the fear of change. And my strong opinion is that I don't believe people fear change. People fear loss. Like if you were going to win the lottery tomorrow and $70 million is going to end up in your bank account, I'm pretty sure you're not going to be afraid of that. But the minute we think, let's change something, this isn't working for me, it's like, oh, hang on a second. I'm going to make less money. I'm going to have to start all over again. I'm not going to have the impact. I'm not, I'm not, I'm not. And nothing in your life has ever been an abject failure. So why do you think this is going to be the case this time? And so getting out of that scarcity mindset, realizing that, they're not monsters under your bed. They're actually just dust bunnies. So if you look, they're a lot less scary than if you don't look. Will really help you identify where am I energized? What are the things that light me up that I could do for 12 hours a day and never get tired? Because if you do more of those things, then you will have the thriving career that you want. And if you always check in to see, because they change, right? Mine has changed over the years and everyone else's will too, to make sure you're still running the right race, then you'll always step into that thriving career.
Oh, I love it. So In these mindsets that you're sharing, some of the underlying pieces that I heard are basically, I mean, if we were to sum this up, essentially you're saying we kind of feel overwhelmed by the thoughts in our head and everything that's going on. And it's really, it sounds like three big things: failure, loss, and energy management, right? Like there's three things. And I think oftentimes we walk around all day long with all these thoughts in our mind that because we don't have a structure to put it into and a way to define it, objectify it, and say, hey, we're looking at it from the backside, but you can turn it around, right? It's something different on the other side. It changes everything. So our perception of the problem changes everything. It's now no longer a problem. Now it's an opportunity. And so I really like how you bring these up. Okay, so let's say someone's listening and they're thinking, oh, shoot, she's talking straight to me, right? What now? What do we do to get back in alignment, to get back into a position where we love what we do every day?
Other than buy the book, right? So we'll go over there first, and then we'll
Step
buy
one, buy the
the book,
book.
right? Follow the transformation guide, which is your support material. Okay, so now that that shameless plug is over, I think one of the more important things to realize is you have way more control than you think you do. And the very first part of the book, there's four parts in the book, and the very first part of the book, which is reveal, and it I talk about the dynamics behind the dysfunction. Because although there's well-intended actions everywhere, I don't think anybody's coming from a place of bad intent. However, the employer-employee relationship has never been more screwed up. And I have, I mean, and it's getting worse. And
Absolutely.
so if you play by the rules, you are going to get stuck and stay stuck. But when you realize, like, this is the playing field we're on, nobody intended it to be this screwed up, but it is. And here's what I need to do differently to not just survive, but thrive despite the dysfunction and put the fun back into dysfunction because you can. Then all of a sudden, all these gating factors that seem to be blockers are now just speed bumps,
Oh,
right?
okay.
And now it's not just a wall you're banging your head. It's, of course, it's this way. Here's what I do instead. And that's really where the first part of the book helps you get very clear on what is broken. It's not going to get better. So let's not, hope is not a strategy, right? So let's just know that it's not going to get better. This is how we're going to have to play and how to do it successfully. So that way you thrive and not get fired in terms of breaking rules and getting out of the soul crushing grind and, really getting comfortable with that failure and change mindset. Now all of a sudden, it's just a different game you're playing
Absolutely. And
instead of
this,
taking it so personally.
there you go, right there. I just had a conversation with someone who was, brief synopsis, right? They had gotten a job offer, but it wasn't for 2 or 3 months that they started. They had another potential offer and they were like, well, I don't want to be disloyal. And they were treating the organization as a person they have a relationship with. And part of the conversation is organizations don't treat you in that same way. And so we're treating our careers as a person to be loyal to. When we can actually separate the two, we can have a relationship with the person and still do a business transaction because that's what we are to an employer, for better or for worse. That's just what it is, right? And so
Absolutely.
I think part of your like revealing the dynamics behind the dysfunction involve partially a dysfunction that there is in the hiring, mechanisms of hiring and
Well, it's
AI
everything.
and
It's hiring, it's interviewing, it's promoting,
yes.
it's all the things, right? Everything is broken. And
And
that,
us, we are too. Like the way we
yes, well,
perceive
because we're
this
trying
process.
to live in this, dysfunctional system. And it doesn't serve us or the company, right? I mean, Gallup survey for the past 10 years has shown, employee engagement or disengagement at 70%. So basically 70% of the workforce doesn't care. And it's
And we're
not
treating
getting any.
it as if it does. Like we're playing by completely different rules that no one else is following. And so I love how you're breaking all the rules with this.
Yeah. And we do talk about escaping that loyalty trap. And the reality is, when we start to treat our career like a business and you become that CEO of You Inc., right? So Patricia Inc. and Tammy Inc. and everything else, our careers are the business. And now we're the CEO, you make different decisions. Right. So when you start to do that and you start to realize, because when you think about it, it's not personal. When you think about how your company chooses a supplier, buys paper clips and everything in between, it's highest value, which is highest quality for the least amount of money. It's not always the cheapest. It's not always the best. It's that value for money equation. And that is how they hire. And
That's
so
right.
if they're hiring you, and it's totally fair, it's how they stay in business, and it's how they make money and continue to be profitable so you can keep having a job. And so when you realize that this is just how businesses function, and you also take a business mindset, realizing that you're exchanging your services, knowledge, and expertise for compensation, vacation time, a cool 401k, and maybe some other perks, but it is a commercial arrangement. And that doesn't mean, and I think where people get hung up is they think that if I do this, all of a sudden, I'm not going to have rewarding relationships with my coworkers, and I'm not going to seem as loyal to the company, or I'm not going to have that full experience of belonging to somewhere. And actually, I found it to be quite the opposite. Because now, when you have that business mindset, you realize you're just trading goods and services for money and compensation. You take the personal out of it, and you show up differently, and you make better decisions. And the lens that you look at is not only better for you and your career, but better for the company and their growth and their success. So everyone wins when you do this. And so I think that's where a lot of people get stuck in terms of really feeling that personal connection, because especially in America, we connect a lot of what we do with who we are as a person. And so when you've got that one-way relationship, you're like that clingy girlfriend where the guy doesn't really care about you, right? Because you're like, oh, I care about you so much. It's like, yeah, glad you're here, and moving on, right? So you don't want to be that clingy girlfriend. And so when you start to have that business mindset, then all of a sudden I think that the relationship comes into balance,
I
and
mean,
your
it's a
perspective comes into focus in terms of not overthinking this and not taking things too personally.
emotional intelligence. It's really kind of having the boundaries. And like you said, when you have those boundaries, now you can show up in a different way. Now you can see people for people instead of seeing people for the business decisions that they have had to make. And I
Yep.
agree, your relationships are overall better and your performance is better. So I love it.
Everybody wants. Yeah.
Okay, so we kind of got into the dynamics behind the dysfunction. By the way, this is chapters 1 through 5, part one, if you need to read it. But let's
Right.
hop into sort of the nitty-gritty of like the other three steps, right? So as far as aligning, what do you have to kind of share with us as like an initial first step to think about?
Okay. So the other four, the other three parts are align, disrupt, and thrive, just so listeners know kind of where we're taking you on this journey. And from an alignment perspective, I think we look at our career and what we do through all the wrong lenses. And that's why we end up feeling stuck and cranky and all those other things. And so we focus on what have we been educated on? What are we expected to do by friends, family, neighbors, keeping up with the Joneses? What's going to make the most money? What is the sexiest route for me to take in terms of being marketable in the future and all those things? But at the end of the day, they're all, well-intended, but that's not really where you need to focus in terms of your alignment. And what you need to do is you need to align with the things that light you up. You need to play to your strengths. How many times you're like, yeah, I'm good at that, but I suck at this, so I'm going to spend a lot of time trying to get average at something I'm not good at. And that is the worst idea ever. It's like you play to your strengths, you strengthen your strengths, and you find mitigating strategies for the things that you suck at. Because if you're not good at it by now, I got bad news for you. You're never going to be. And so find other ways to get the same things done by people who love doing that because it is their strength, and everybody will win. And so that alignment is really taking a very introspective look at what lights you up, what are your superpowers, and really starting to create that vision and strategy for yourself. And I use an analogy in the book because a lot of times we actually don't create a strategy. We have an accidental career. I know I did. I had no plans, right? I showed up,
So
I got my first
accurate.
job, and everything else took care of itself after that, right? I got fired twice, promoted a bazillion times. I had all the things. And so, but it was all accidental. Like nothing was done with purpose. You have things that come to you, you either take it or you don't. And then you move on. And so there's no shame in that, but you shouldn't be doing that. And when I talk about having your, strategy, your vision, and your execution for your career, what I talk about is I provide an analogy basically to a 5-hour road trip. So you decide you're going to go away for a long weekend, either at the beach or mountains or wherever you love, and it's a 5-hour drive away. So you're like, that's where I want to go next weekend. That's your strategy. And now you have to decide how you're going to get there. Are you going to take toll roads and get there fast? Are you going to take back roads? Do you want to stop at a few destination points along the way that might be interesting? Right? I'm sorry. The vision is your direction. That's your strategy, is how you're going to get there. And you decide, what are you going to do? Right? So your vision is that beach or mountains place. The strategy is, I'm taking the long route. I'm not in a hurry. There's some really fun things to see. So that is how I'm going to get there. That's my strategy. Then the next thing you do, and the last thing you do, is you get in the car and you drive. But then what happens? Either Google Maps or whatever you use pops up and says, hey, there's construction. Do you want to take a different route? Now, do you turn around and go home? No. You decide,
I
oh
can
no, I'm
imagine.
just going to either sit here because it's not that bad and I really want to see that point, or I'm going to take a different way. And that's execution. And so with our career, it's the same way. You need to set that vision of where do you want to be. And I don't recommend doing anything more than 3 years out. Things are too dynamic and changing. You need to figure out, so that is your vision, your strategy, which road are you going to take? How are you going to get there? And then when your phone says, oh, you're screwed because you got a 6-hour, road delay ahead, you don't go home. You don't quit. You don't park on the side of the road and cry. You say, yes, take me a new way. And you still get there. And so I wish more people had that level of intentionality with their career, particularly on the execution part, because that's usually where where all the excitement happens.
That's as soon as you said the execution part, you talked about that, and all I thought was nearly anywhere that you go right now is bound to have a detour, an accident, something. And
Always.
what in life we see as, oh, you just go around it, right? When we talk about things like our career, in particular our career, it feels like a hit to ourselves, to our ego. And because it's a
Totally, it's
hit to our
debilitating.
ego, we just stop. And it's like, well, if it were my ego, I wouldn't want to stop at the failure. I want to keep going till I win, right? Like, isn't that the perspective we're trying to take, is to keep going with new tools in our toolbox?
And there's a really interesting analogy that I heard from Dean Graziosi about resilience. And he talks about the fact that, and I agree, I don't think we lack resilience. What I think is that we lack certainty. Because if you knew that you had to take a detour 37 times to get where you wanted to go, you would do that. Because you knew that on the 38th time you'd get there. You have certainty. But we don't have that certainty. So we don't know how many times we're going to have to take a detour. And because we don't know, too often we turn around and drive the car home right before that next big win.
Because we think we're not going to get there.
Yeah, right. And you don't know. It's like, do I have 17 more of these to do? Is it never going to happen? Or is it the next time? And so, I think it's less about resilience and more about certainty, but realizing that whenever you are at that point of quitting and saying, I give up, this isn't what I'm meant to do, I'm going to have to just think about something different, 9 times out of 10, that next push is going to get you where you want to go.
Okay, I love this. So there are so many people who are, I'm sure, listening right now that are in the middle of their career transition or life transition, whatever it might be. And they're just thinking, this isn't working. Like you said, I'm going to turn back around, right? At this point, I feel like I've gotten far enough along, maybe not that far, but far enough along in my life to recognize that if I have a goal, I will reach it. It might not be today. It might not be next year. It might not be for 5 years. My timeline may be different, but if that's what I decide that I'm going to do outside of a fatal accident or something crazy, right, I'm going to eventually reach it. And I think it's that perseverance and that grittiness, right, that I think can just, when you pair that with that like certainty, that's how you move forward.
It's important to really continue to check in with your goals because we set them and then forget them. And then all of a sudden we hit the finish line and we've been running the wrong race for years, right? And so to realize that our goals are fluid and that, to check in and make sure, I mean, COVID was a big reset for a lot of people, right? In terms of running the race and, just the daily grind. And then like,
It
oh
woke
wait,
us up.
there's actually life out there. Like I can actually have fun and I like my family and I like walking after work or whatever. And so, but continue to check in because two things, make sure you're running the right race, right? Because when you're starting to lose that stamina, maybe it's because your goals have shifted and you've not given yourself that acknowledgement, And then the second thing I think is to really lean in on your purpose. And we talk about getting to that level seven why, which is from Simon Sinek. And I have found that such a huge motivator for me because I set big goals, I take big risks, and I fail often. Right. And again, success and failure. So nothing is ever, but I definitely have my share of bruises, from swinging and missing more often than not. And but the one thing that kept me going is I got really, really clear on my level seven why. Quick backstory, when I was growing up, we're, middle class, felt great, everything was good, private schools, mom stayed home, all the things. Long story short, my parents split up, my dad leaves town. Can't find him anywhere. And we're homeless when I was 15. So taxes hadn't been paid in 10 years. House was being foreclosed on, the whole nine. And so seeing what my mother went through, because she got pregnant with me in high school. And so she was ill-equipped for all the things because she was always a stay-at-home mom, and she never, she supported my dad's business, but that was it, So she was ill-equipped to deal with two children, me and my sister, and being bounced on the street. So we couch surfed with relatives and friends, and it was a hot mess. I mean, it was hard for me as a selfish 15-year-old. You know how girls are at 15. And seeing my sister 4 years younger than me, but seeing what my mother went through, and just the stress and the panic, and just not being equipped to handle what life throws at you. I knew right then and there, I'm like, that will never be me. And that hyper drive to not ever be in that situation is what really that fear-based, it was definitely a fear-based motivator for sure, but that is what made me play bigger. And that's what made me, be able to take all those risks. And that's what kept me going when I was failing. That's what kept me trying one more time because, then that morphed into, okay, now I don't want to be a burden on my daughter. Right. My parents had no money. We supported them. Unfortunately, we've lost them both. But we supported them, my sister and I, because they had no money. And I never wanted to be like that with my daughter. Right. And so when I started this business, it was the same thing. You leave this big Wall Street job, big money, big everything else with all this uncertainty. I'm like, I do not want to have to be, sleeping on my daughter's couch when I'm re retired. And so that was all the things that, that kept me going. So when things get hard, make sure you're running the right race and you need to connect with that sense of purpose that makes you cry.
I love
Because
that.
when you do that, you develop a level of determination that even you don't know you have. And that's where the grit.
Absolutely. That's like the that core motivator. We're as humans, we're driven by emotion more than logic, no matter how logical we are. That's just part of our human nature. And to find that emotional driver is, it's like having it, I mean, to be crass, it's like having a source of income that you can pull on anytime because now your motivation, right, is driven by something larger than the reward, the external reward that's there. And so now that just comes just because you love what you do.
And that's how you align, right? Is checking in with your goals, making sure that you've got your why, and finding that opportunity to make sure that you stay resilient.
So now my favorite part. Disrupt, breaking all the rules. Tell us
Break
about
all the
breaking all
rules.
the
That's
rules.
right.
How do we break the rules without breaking the rules?
You break the rules without getting fired by breaking the right rules the
Basically.
right way, right? And there's all these things that we believe to be true that aren't. And so when you start to realize, and it's things like, I'm going to have to take a step back if I make a change, things like people won't hire from outside their industry, so I'm really kind of stuck where I am, underselling and undermining the level of value that all of your skills, experiences, and talents up to this point can drive in a new role in a new way. And so from that perspective, when you start to decompose some of those or deconstruct some of those things and really embrace the fact that, the rules apply to other people. And exceptions are made every single day. And when you really start to strengthen the things in terms of treating your career like a business that we talked about, really understanding the value of all the skills that you've developed over the years and not dismiss them as, oh, I haven't done them in a while. I'm not an expert. Somebody else actually did the work. Like we give away our skills all the time, not realizing that that's actually the currency you're going to use to buy your next job. Right? So saying that, oh, I didn't actually do that work, is the same thing as saying, oh, well, I didn't actually work for the interest on my investment account, so I don't want it. It doesn't count. It's the same mindset, right? So if you look at your skills as money, and that money is going to buy your next opportunity, you start to take credit for a lot more things than you would normally. And then playing to your strengths that we talked about and really starting to focus on that power base. When, people will make that movement for you. Job boards are dead. They're a good place for research, but you're not going to get a job there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is going to be your network and your power base that does that for you. So do not discount it. And if, for the, because everybody sucks at networking, everybody hates the word networking. So that's fair. So we're going to call it power base instead. And what I mean by that is when you start to look at people who can actually make an impact in your life and career, and you become that person who can make an impact for others, through, making a few phone calls and giving some advice or whatever it takes, then you start to build this community. And Porter Gale, who is a professional speaker and networking expert, has a really amazing saying. It's called, and what they say is, your network is your net worth. And it is true. You have stronger networks, make more money. Full stop. So if you look at everybody that you've got in your network as strong as a strong relationship, and know that that's going to be good for $1,000 a year on your bank account for the next 10 years, you would start to look at things much differently. And so breaking these rules are, stop doing the things or not doing the things that you're doing, and realize that you can step into that thriving career when you start to address things differently, and you show up differently. And you realize that the human nature, which we talk about a lot, Patricia, is that the thing most people want over everything else. There's only one thing people want. And that one thing is, are you the person to get me what I want? Like we are ultimately self-serving, right? And so
Yeah,
we ask all these questions, we do
inevitably.
all these things, but at the end of the day, if you are the person that is the bridge between, anybody you're working with, where they are and where they want to be, in terms of success, and you show yourself as that bridge, you will win every time. So much more to dig into. This is one of our biggest chapters in terms of parts of the book, but that's a good sneak preview.
Yes, and part of the thing that I always talk about is like the that we have people perceive us a certain way. We have a reputation, whether we want to admit it or not. And part of what you do in breaking all the rules is you show people almost step by step, like you really show people how you can brand yourself. And I know that might not be a term that resonates with professionals. And so really it's how you can communicate your value. That's what I hear a lot. How do I communicate my value? Well, you communicate first by owning it. That's number one that you talked about. And then you communicate it also by recognizing that your skills have value. They're not just something you've done. There's something that you now have in your toolbox that you can solve a company problem with, that you can move a bottom line with. And if you're able to communicate it in those terms, now you've got a money-making machine, and that is your brand and your reputation. So I love how you do that in part three of the book. Okay, so we break all the rules, right? Now what?
Yes. Now it's time to thrive, right? The hard work is done. And once you get in the habit of breaking the rules, then you're going to realize you're never going to play small again. And that's when you really, really start to own being that CEO of your career. Again, when you think about what a CEO does, right? They need to make sure that they've got competitive market positioning, right? That they've got products and services that everybody wants, that they've got a rock star sales team, and all of these things. So if you start to think of your career like a business, and how do you run a successful business and do that for yourself? Boom. I mean, that's when everything changes. And so, and when you start to do that, then you move into a position of having the ability to help others and bring others along. And I think that's really one of the biggest things is, getting comfortable with your authentic leadership style so you can lead your way, because now you're the CEO. No one can tell you what to do. You're the boss of you. So you do the thing. And then, realizing that, during times of chaos, which when hasn't there been chaos, right, in terms
Never.
of the last years? And so that's when there's such a leadership gap, and that's when leaders are needed the most. And so you can step in and become that leader that people choose to follow, regardless of hierarchy or what the organizational chart says. You know, you have the opportunity to pave the way for others. So you've mastered all of this stuff. Don't keep it to yourself. Like, show others how to do this and build this unstoppable force in terms of people around you. And then when you do this on a consistent basis, then you are going to find that you're going to step into a life that's vibrant, that's well balanced. And then all of a sudden, Mondays, you know, are something that you love again instead of dread.
Absolutely love that. So I like how you mentioned thriving during times of chaos, and it really resonates with this concept. Like, you hear of economic downturns, right? And if your business, since we're talking about, thinking of your career in terms of a business, if you're a business, downtimes, economic downturns are the best time for opportunity. It means there's a need, there's a problem, there's a gap to be filled, just like you mentioned, right? Where there's chaos, you need leadership, right? And so, I mean, we could go down this rabbit hole, which we won't for the sake of time. But, this whole idea of artificial intelligence is causing so many layoffs. Guess what? You immediately have the one skill that if you have this skill, it becomes an opportunity. What was the reason for your layoff is now the reason why you get hired everywhere else. So start thinking about what are some kind of downturns or spaces where you think you have a setback. And take the time to be present, to slow down, to think about it strategically. Don't just react, but kind of take the initiative to decide how can this work to my advantage instead of to my detriment. And so I really like how
Absolutely.
you brought that.
Yeah, because when everyone else is hiding under their desks, hoping not to get fired,
Yeah.
that is the perfect time to surge. But make sure that you're aligned with the organization's priorities. That's I think that the big caveat. Right? So when you decide that I'm going to take some risks, I'm going to lead from the front,
Yeah.
a lot of times people are scurrying around and there's this frenetic energy. But nothing is actually getting done, or the wrong things are getting done. And so make sure that you know what the two biggest priorities of the organization are during times of chaos and use that as your North Star. Because if what you're doing doesn't deliver against one or both of those, don't do it. Because now you're running around crazy like everybody else. So that requires you to have a lot of perspective on where the organization is prioritizing to batten down the hatches or to take advantage of an opportunity that some of this instability creates. But if you align to those and can quantifiably deliver to those, swing big every time.
Yeah, I like that. So align yourself to the priorities of the organization, and of course, make sure that's aligned with your values as well. And you almost can't go wrong, like you said, right? With every failure, there
Yeah.
comes a success. I love that. All right. Okay. You and I could keep talking for I don't even
I
know
know, and
how
we
long.
went way over, so I'm sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, sorry, not sorry. Trust me, it was worth every minute that we had this conversation. I know it's helping a ton of people. But I know that now folks are like, okay, how do we get this book? Because I need to read it. I need to work with Tammy. I need to figure this out, right? How do we get the book? Where can we find you?
Okay, so there's two primary places you can get the book. My strongest recommendation is hit the escapingthecareertrap.com website. Because when you get there, you're going to get a hardcover of the book. You're going to get tons of free downloads of things that are going to help you move faster that no one else has access to. And you're going to get discounts to our transformation guide. Now, most coaching books have their standard transformation guide, which is like a spiral bound thing, a spiral bound thing with like static worksheets. Well, you know, we don't play that way. And so what this does is this allows you to have an online version to grow on the go. So basically, it's your digital Sherpa. At the end of each chapter of the book, I have some brain candy for you. And these are things I want you to think about after reading the chapter on how you can apply it to your specific situation. And so I encourage you to do that and journal those. But if you really want to move your insights into action, you need to take the next step. And that's what that transformation guide is there for. You can get it other ways, but if you want a discount on, you know, the monthly subscription to have access to this great material, you know, get the hardcover, get the discount, and grow like crazy. Obviously, you can also get this on Amazon. Who doesn't buy books on Amazon anymore? So you can get the soft cover, the ebook, and the audio book through Audible on Amazon. So hardcover, freebies, discounts. escapingthecareertrap.com. Go there first. But if you want to just, date and not get married, then, head to Amazon and grab either the audio ebook or soft cover.
So we've got like the hardcover, we've got the Amazon. We're going to put those links in the description. Tell us some final words that we should walk away with as this episode ends.
Hope is not a strategy. You have more control than you think you do. And as soon as you start to step into your power, everything will change.
I love it. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. I really appreciate your insights.
This was so much fun. And thanks again for the invite back. I really, really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, everyone, for sticking around with us. Know that we love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you on the next one. Hey, thanks for listening. I really appreciate you spending time with me today. If you found this episode helpful, please tap the 5-star review on the show's homepage in your podcast app. It would absolutely make my day, and it helps others discover the Uncommon Career Podcast. Now, to download your free career resources and learn how I help seasoned professionals land amazing offers in as little as 90 days, click on the link in the description or go to theuncommoncareer.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you on the next one.